Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Psalm 116 and 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. You may be seated. I'd like to talk to you for a few moments this evening on the subject, a table before my enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, David said. You know, we in this church and people like us around the universe believe that God is a miracle worker. And we believe that God works miracles when other people cannot help us. We believe that God heals. We believe that God does things in our body. We believe God simply makes a way. But I think if we were spiritually astute, our eyes were opened, our spiritual sensitivity was acute, and we recognized what the Lord does for us every day, our gratitude would know no bounds. We would overflow with thanksgiving. Because our God not only works those miracles from time to time that we document, but he does things in our life every day that in the flesh you cannot discern, or if you discern that they are unusual, you perhaps do not give God the credit that he deserves for moving with his hand and sticking his index finger into the situation and causing things to be done in your behalf. But David recognized the presence and the power of God in his life, and he was sensitive to that. That's the reason why he was a praiser. Awareness of God's blessing in your life will make you a praiser. If you are insensitive, you will be short on gratitude and silent on praise. But if you are sensitive to the hand of God in your life, you will be aware of what God is doing, which will cause you to be a praiser, not just when it's requested by somebody in a religious service, but the very life that you live, you will be a praiser. You'll be a praiser in the congregation, as the Bible said. You'll be a praiser on your bed. You'll be a praiser in the field. You'll be a praiser in the firmament of his power, as David was. And so David acknowledged the Lord's blessing in his life. And he said, forget not his benefits. He was instructing his fellow Israelis, forget not the benefits of the Lord. How often we forget what the Lord has done, what the Lord has done in the past. We get so focused on the moment, we forget the history that we have with God. It's not a good thing to forget your history with God. You need to constantly recollect what the Lord has done, because it gives you a foundation to base your faith in, that what God has done, he will duplicate and exceed what he has done. And so no matter how great the Lord has been, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. So David said, forget not the Lord's benefits. And then he said, he loadeth his benefits on me daily. How many of us can amen David and say, Selah? He does load his benefits on me daily, not occasionally, not once in a while do I receive a miracle from the Lord, but David said, I am sensitive enough to recognize that he loadeth his benefits on me daily. And then he asked, what can I do in response to what the Lord has done for me? And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me. I will take of the cup of salvation. I will receive Christ's plan of salvation into my life for that time and call upon the name of the Lord And then he said, I'll pay my vows in the presence of all of his saints. It's a very capsulized version of what we do. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, that's the way we repay our vow, repay our gratitude for God's glorious benefits in our life. We receive salvation. We acknowledge Christ as our Savior. We follow Him in baptism in that name that is above every name. And then we become contributors through our tithe and offering, paying our vow among the people of God. We are much like David in this 21st century in a spiritual sense. And so David said, I want to talk about that a little bit. And we are familiar with the 23rd Psalm because it is the most read, most widely quoted psalm and passage of Scripture in the entire Bible, Old or New Testament. And so it is called a Psalm of David. And it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me break it down for you a little bit in 21st San Antonio terms. David simply said, Jesus is my keeper, and he fulfills my desires. And all of these hundreds of years later, I can amen David, because the Lord is my keeper, and he fulfills the desires of my heart. In verse 2, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. That probably literally means more to me than anybody else in this building since I ranch. But that's not the real application for this day and time. It simply means he feeds me when I am hungry, and he gives me to drink when I am thirsty. That is in the spiritual sense and in the literal sense. He restoreth my soul, he said in verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That simply means in our terminology, he brought me into right relationship with the Father. He made me righteous, not through my actions or deeds, but rather through the power of the name of Jesus, is what David was saying those many years ago. He continues, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. We would say today, regardless of the threat of impending death, I will not be afraid. I am comforted by the word of God and by the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I believe that the anointing of the Lord is upon me, and I believe it's because of that anointing that I experience overflowed abundance in my life in every dimension. That's what David was talking about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was saying, I am confident that because of the goodness of God, God will provide fresh mercy to me every day of my life. And then he concludes, I will in turn be faithful to God and faithful to his house forever. I purposely did not do much with that phrase, thou preparest a table before me in thy presence, in the presence of my enemies, because that's particularly what I want to talk about. Everybody has enemies. You say, not me. Oh, you're likable, but not that likable. Everybody has enemies. We would like to all live under the illusion that everybody loves me and I have no enemies. But if David, the psalmist, had great enemies that he talked about consistently in his psalms, and if Jesus Christ had such vile and violent enemies that they put him to death, then I suspect that we too have enemies. What creates enemies? Most enemies are created as a result of jealousy and envy and sometimes of ignorance. People become jealous of you. They hate you for no particular reason except you have something they want or you are something they're not. They really would like to admire you, but the corruptness of their flesh causes them rather to admire you, to be envious and jealous of you, and consequently they become enemies. And I can tell you this, the more blessed you are, the more enemies you will have. The guy walking down the freeway tonight behind us here on Interstate 35 that has nothing but a small paper sack under his arm, does not have a parade of enemies pointing at him and making accusations. Our friend Jesse Duplantis told me the story of playing in a golf tournament. It was an amateur pro golf tournament, and there was a pro golfer that followed him all day long, just like in the book of Acts, and said, "This man's a fraud," and literally heckled him around the golf course all day long. He didn't heckle anybody else, just Jesse. There are people that hate God. There are people that hate the people of God. And there are people that hate the blessing of God on other people. Those are the enemies of God and God's kingdom. The more blessed you are, the more enemies you will have. Let's talk about what God said he will do. God said he would provide and prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I said at the onset, God does those miracles where we stand at an altar and we feel the warm glow of God come upon us, and we know that the doctor's report has been reversed, and we signal we've had a miracle in our life and we give God praise for that. And I certainly covet those miracles and have experienced them many times and want to all the days of my life. But there's another kind of miracle, and that is where God works in things. God works in circumstance. God works in situation. And so God said, "I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies." And friend, there's nothing like that, because there are people that want to sabotage your marriage, people that want to sabotage your education, people that want to sabotage your business, your vocation, your job, that want to sabotage just your relationship. There are people like that. They are literally enemies of everything that is good in your life. But God said, there is a place where you can get. And David echoed that. And he said, there is a place where God will literally prepare a table, and it will be in the presence of your enemies. God said about himself, "One day I will make the heavens my throne, and I will make the enemies my footstool." They will literally be allowed to watch what God is doing in his kingdom, but not participate in it. Thinking about this little message tonight, I thought about the big meals we've had around Christmas time. Becky cooks a lot during the holiday season, and we have the traditional turkey and ham and dressing and all of that. And then inevitably, we have a second day, and that's all seafood. She's from Louisiana, and she has won her boys and her husband over, and we are addicted to seafood. Shrimp and crab fingers and fried catfish. And one of the brothers has taken it upon himself to bring us the best fresh seafood, and oh, man. And so Sister Becky goes about preparing that table. But while she's doing that, I'm nowhere around. But believe me, she would rather me be doing what I'm doing than helping her and then asking her to do what I do. This morning, while you were still snugly warmed in your bed, wrapped up like swaddling clothes, imitating the Jesus you love, it was so cold outside. I was on a tractor with no cab, putting out hay to my cows, and there was a little moisture in the air, and it was hitting me in the face. Man, I love it. It's insane, but I love it. In rancher terms, it's called the need to feed. There's just something about people that have been raised on farms and ranches. You just got to get out there and feed those livestock. I don't know why. It's just like people that are raised in other things do what they do. But the point is, Sister Becky did not want to be out there doing that anymore that I wanted to be in there trying to figure out how to make dressing. And those poor cows wouldn't be fed very good if they were waiting on her. But I wouldn't be fed very good, and the boys and the grandkids wouldn't be fed very good if they were waiting on me. The point is this: God does something that I can't do when he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. But the point is also this: that he does not want me just sitting in the lazy boy with the remote waiting for him to prepare the table. He's got something good for me to do in life. And if I will do that, rather than involving myself in his business of trying to somehow pacify, somehow overcome, somehow bring those enemies to naught, if I'll just do what God's called me to do, at the end of the day, it's going to be a table well prepared, and I am going to be so blessed, I won't be able to tell it all. And those that try to destroy me will be eyewitnesses to the glory of God and the power of God in somebody that will follow the Lord and pay their vow to him. So three quick steps if you want the Lord to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. This is going to be tougher for some of you than others. Hold your peace. Just keep your trap shut. It's hard to do. Some presidents just can't keep from tweeting. Causes himself so much trouble. But that's a good lesson in life, because you can see it in him, but can you see it in yourself? You don't have 100 million people following you on Twitter, but you got 12 people at work, you got a couple thousand people at church, you got 16 people in your family, and you just can't hold your peace. You know, we like to talk about faith, and faith is always mystical and miraculous, and it's always sandwiched in between a song and a hymn, and it's when people are raising their hands and glorifying God. But there's lots of aspects that we don't talk about. We speak out because we don't think the Lord will speak up. We like to let go a lethal punch because we don't really believe the Lord will fight our battles. We got to have ourselves because we don't believe the word of the Lord endures forever. We've got to tell somebody else because we don't believe the word in us will return, and it'll be pregnant. We believe it's going to be void in form and not accomplished. And so we just got to do it ourselves. Friend, we make two mistakes, and that's not doing what we're supposed to do, and the other is doing what the Lord will do. Just leave the food alone, Steve. It's going to be somehow garbage if you get involved in it, and nobody's going to want to eat it. That's not your job. And there are things that God wants to do for you in the preparation of the table that you cannot do, and I can promise you, if you get involved in it, you're not going to have a well-prepared table, and your enemies are not going to be astounded at the power and the performance of God in your life. They're going to say, just like I told you, that person is a mess. Hold your peace. In Exodus 14:4, the Bible tells us that Moses told the people of the Hebrew people when they were afraid of the Egyptians and afraid they were going to die, the only reason why you brought us out here, they said, is to make a big cemetery. There was no place to bury us in Egypt, and you brought us out here to die, regardless of what God said, and now they want to respond. And Moses responds with the greatest advice that he could possibly give, and it still works in the 21st century in San Antonio, Texas. Let the Lord fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You're not supposed to be argumentative. You're supposed to be a praiser. You're not supposed to be a critic. You're supposed to be a glorifier of Almighty God. You're not supposed to be giving advice to everybody in the world. You're supposed to be quoting the Word of God and letting it do its work. And so if you want God to prepare the table, you're going to have to hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. Number two, if you want the Lord to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, you need to listen to what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, because I've had a host of enemies in my life, particularly when it comes to ministry and the founding and pastoring of this church. People that told me not, told me why not, told me I could not, but I did not answer them. I just did what the Lord told me to do. The Bible teaches us if you're going to have the Lord to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies, you're going to have to return good for bad. You know, that's so hard to do. I don't know how many of you would remember this, but there was a gentleman when I came to San Antonio, he pastored a church here in the city, and he'd been here a long time. He was an old man. He was scared. He was afraid people was going to leave his church. I was 25 years of age. They're going to come to a young guy's church. They're going to come to a guy's church that was married to Becky. They can sing and hear that. They're going to leave that old church and come here. And so he did terrible things. He said terrible things. He said things that were not true. And not one time did I respond. I dealt with that for years. We just got moved into this building on a Sunday when he was rolled in a wheelchair, now 80 years of age, in that very back door. And I don't know how many of you were here that Sunday, but I said, we are honored today to have the Father of Pentecost in our service today, and we honored him. I didn't respond to anything he had done because I knew that the Lord would prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He had made statements from his pulpit 20-some years before and said, Steve Fender will not last another month. They've repossessed his property. On and on and on. None of these things were true. I'm not sure he was lying. Maybe somebody had told him that. But I recognized he was an old man and he was fearful. And I recognized he was not my enemy physically. There was a spiritual enemy. And so my job was, number one, to hold my peace. And the second thing was, every time I got an opportunity is to return good for bad. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. What would happen during this holiday season if you would find out the person that's been the most vindictive, the most two-faced, the person behind you that has hurt you so bad, that has talked to your boss, caused you to be passed over for a promotion, if you just went out of your way to bless them during the holiday? Well, I just couldn't do that. Oh, I don't know what it would do for them, but I can tell you what it would do for you. It would cause God to put a little more dinnerware on the table. It would cause God to set your beverage glass down and say, I'm getting ready to prepare a feast for you. Because I believe that I'm preaching to the cream of the crop of Living Way Church as well as San Antonio. And I believe there are some people in this building right now that have already done exactly what I'm talking about. And I am concerned that you don't recognize what you have done and what you are about to receive. But God is getting ready in 2018 to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Every good deed that you've returned for evil, every time you didn't give them a piece of your mind, every time you blessed them when you could have cursed them, God said, I've seen it all, and it's payday. He said, get your bib on, get your napkin out, get ready to sit down. As we like to say, dinner is served. Praise God, something's about to happen to some people in this building in 2018, and you are just going to become such a praiser, not because you practice a new praise, but because you become so aware that the benefits of God are being unloaded on you. Truckload after truckload, day after day, item after item, and you're going to say, thank God I didn't give in. Thank God I didn't say what I wanted to say. Thank God I didn't retaliate like I wanted to retaliate, but I did what the Lord gave me the impulse to do, and you're going to love the table that God is going to spread in 2018. Praise God. I'm just amazed. I tell Becky this all. I'm amazed how long it takes to prepare a delicious meal and how quickly we can scoff it down. Just like that. And I'm the world's fastest eater, which has got to make it even worse. I can literally inhale a piece of turkey, a piece of ham, a pile of dressing, mashed potatoes, green beans with mushrooms on them. Oh, I can just inhale that and wash it down with a couple pieces of pumpkin pie. Just that quick. I mean, it don't take me 2 minutes. And it took hours to prepare that. Friend, we need to slow down and realize the Lord has prepared this table for us. We need to enjoy it a little bit. We need to sit down and just talk about it a while. We need to be like the man I knew in California by the name of Paul Gregory. He weighed 325 pounds. He was a great preacher, but a better eater. Man, that guy could eat more than anybody I ever saw. And then he would take him about 2.5 hours to eat a meal because he ate a lot and he ate slowly. And he commented on everything he ate. And then when he got through, they said, "Are you full, Brother Paul?" He said, "Pretty full, but do you have any ice cream? I'd like to finish up with ice cream." Because he said, when you eat ice cream, it melts and it goes down in there. And any vacant places, it finds it and fills it up. And he said, "I'd like to be good and full." Friend, do you know how good the Lord's been to you? You ought to savor what God has done. You ought to talk about it a little bit. You ought to smack your lips, praise God. You ought to get your napkin out and wipe your mouth off. Say, "I believe that's the best." I've got a friend that is very well educated, but he's from Louisiana. And he is correct on his grammar, usually, except one thing. He just likes to say, "That's the best I ever eat." Well, that's not correct grammatically, but that means he really enjoyed it. He enjoyed it so much he can break the grammatical laws to express what he has experienced at the table. Let me tell you, I've been to the table time and time again. When people counted me down and out, the Lord would say, "You just go take care of your business because I'm going to spread a table here and I'm going to make them come back and watch. I'm going to make them come back and watch." Oh, the Lord not only wants to bless you, but the Lord wants to bless you with a big crowd watching, because God is so proud of you and what you've done with Him and what He's done for you. Years ago, I was in Louisiana. We used to have the camp meetings. We have about 7,000 or 8,000 people there, and the guy that run it, the superintendent, was a friend of mine. I was just a kid. I always stayed in his home, and there'd be all those thousands of people. He'd always say, "Stevie, I want you on the platform with me." And so there I'd be. There'd be great preachers sitting everywhere, and I was a 20-year-old kid sitting right there beside him. And just me and him go back in the office, and that's just what he wanted to do and why I never knew. But I loved him, and he was one of the greatest guys I ever knew. But we had a guy leading the service one night, and he said something that was less than flattering about our revered district superintendent. I forgot what he said now, but I saw when he said it, I saw my old friend, my old superintendent, was not happy. And so when that service was over, he said, "Stevie, come with me." And we went back in that room. You talk about that guy getting a tongue lashing. I just stood there. And finally the guy said, "I'm sorry." I never will forget what Brother Week said. He said, "Tim, that ain't good enough. Said you insulted me in front of 8,000 people, and now you want to apologize in front of Stevie? That don't get it." Let me tell you about something about God. You might have been alone when God worked the miracle, but now God wants to take you out and show you off. And so God's going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies, and He's going to take questions. When they say why, God's going to explain you. When other people wouldn't praise, they praised. When other people wouldn't pray, they prayed. When other people denied my name, they stood for my name. When other people wouldn't come to church, they were like David. They dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When other people were ashamed of me, they stood up and declared, "Jesus is my Lord." And now I want you just to sit there and watch. For these are the people from whom I have prepared this table. Ladies and gentlemen, there is great blessing in following the Lord and being faithful to Him. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to promise you, you can't lose with the stuff that God uses. God's called you to be faithful to Him. It takes great faith to say, "This ain't right, but God's going to make it right. And so I'm going to put it in His hand. This is not the time, but there will be a time. Because my Lord is never early, and my Lord is never late, and my Lord will never be beholding. He's going to pour it out, and when He pours it out, He's going to make an announcement. Praise God, this is my daughter, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased." Number 3, if you want the Lord to prepare a table for you, in the presence of your enemies. And take it from me, there's no better feeling. Just no better feeling. When you've just took it and took it and took it and took it, and you know you can't do nothing or say nothing. And then all of a sudden, the Lord starts setting the table. And the people that tried to hurt you, kill you, get you fired, talked about you, tried to ruin your family, tried to mess you up with everybody, they're just sitting there and they're speechless. They don't know what to say. Do not be distracted from your calling. While God is preparing your table in the presence of enemies for you to come, He doesn't expect for you to just idle the time away. He's got a calling in your life. And that calling, He means for you to be faithful to. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. To bring you up to speed, Nehemiah is building the great wall around Jerusalem. It's fell and been in decay, and he's gone there to build the wall back under the direction of God. And he's got some help, but not enough help. He's got materials, but not enough material. But he's just got the call of God on his life to do it. And as he builds the wall, those that are jealous of him and envious of him and wish they had a calling of God on their life like you do, they begin to criticize him. And they said, that wall that you are building is just pitiful. Said if a fox came up and leaned against that wall, it would fall down. The people that criticize your calling don't have a calling of their own. The people that criticize your busyness are idle and just don't know what to do. The people that are critical of what you are doing don't have anything going on in their life. Listen to Nehemiah's response. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. They sent messengers unto me 4 times that I would come and meet with them. But this is what I like. Nehemiah said, I sent messengers back unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Friend, if you want God to make a table and prepare a table for you in your presence of your enemies, you can never go down to your critics. Your critics are always beneath you. You're not criticized from people that are over you. They know how hard it is to achieve what they've achieved. The critics are from those people that have never, ever done your job. I've said it many times and told the story many times. We had a man that we got saved out of the strip clubs of San Antonio, a Hispanic guy, and man, he was great. I loved Uncle Joe. We called him Uncle Joe, and he was with us for years. And he was a janitor. One of his jobs was to change the sign next door. And he would change that sign, and he would be out there forever. And I would say to my secretary, I'd say, what's taking him so long? There's no way they can take that long. The reason why I could say that was I'd never changed a sign in my life. And so one day Uncle Joe wasn't there, and we had to have the sign. I said, I will do that. It took me about twice as long as it did Uncle Joe. Because I was a critic that had never done what he had done. Never again did I say, what's taking him so long? I'd say, how did he get that done so quick? People criticize you because they have no idea what God is doing with you, for you, and through you. But our tendency is that we want to justify our calling. We want to justify our performance. We've got to go down, explain it to the critics. Friend, when you're called of God, and you know that God is watching over you, and that God is your paymaster, and that God is going to reward you with a prepared table in the presence of your enemies, you'll never ever leave your calling to go down to try to argue and satisfy your critics, but you'll just go on and do what God has called you to do. I have a friend that has one of the greatest churches in America. 40 years ago, he went through a divorce. And for 40 years, I've followed his ministry. I've heard him criticized by so many people. I've listened to him preach so many times. I've talked to him so many times. Not one time has he tried to justify the divorce. I don't know who was at fault. I don't know what the problem was. I just know that he stayed working on that wall for 40 years, and now he has one of the greatest ministries in America and around the world. Friend, I'm going to tell you, God has called you to do something big. And if you will be faithful to your calling, it will not matter what the critics say. It won't even matter if you've had problems in your past. You can justify your past mistakes by being faithful to your present calling. Let me slow it down a little bit. You can justify your past mistakes by being faithful to your present calling. God has called you to do something very big. And you say, but I have to explain myself. People just don't understand. Failures never understand the successful. People that are beaten down never understand the overcomers. People that are sinful never understand the righteous. People that are losers never understand the victorious. You are wasting your breath to try to justify yourself to your enemies and your critics. You'd be much better to take your trial out. Get some mortar on your trowel, put another brick in the wall, put a little cement in that crack, slap that brick on there, reach out and get another brick. And while you're doing it, sing a praise unto the Lord. Because while you're working on the wall, God's working on your table. There are people in this building right now that God's called you to be a Sunday school teacher. God's called you to be a youth leader. God's called you to be an usher. God's called you to be a soul winner. God's called you to be a praiser. God's called you to be a prayer warrior. God's called you to a ministry. And if you would be faithful to that ministry and not be distracted by those that are trying to pull you every which way, that are laughing and mocking and making fun and trying to get you to explain and justify what you do, if you could just ignore them and put yourself to work at the calling that is at hand and do it with a praise on your lip, it would not be long before you would hear the Lord say, "Dinner is served. Come and see what I have prepared for you." And when you get there, not only are you going to find the reward is great and the fare is sumptuous, you're going to find that there is a whole gallery of people that tried to stop you, tried to hurt you, tried to make fun of you, tried to mock you, tried to derail you, and they've got to sit there and watch the Lord bless you. No better feeling in the world when you know the Lord has resolved it and the Lord has done it. Somebody, even in 2017, you've been beat up. You've been accused falsely. Somebody's lied on you. Somebody didn't pay you what they owed you. But friend, I've got a God that's bigger than all of that. I've got a God that's bigger than the country, the company you work for. I've got a God that's bigger than your family reunion. I've got a God that's bigger than his ex-wife. I've got a God that is able. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right now, on the last Wednesday night of 2017, the Lord is going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You can't come down. Because you got to stay up and do what God is calling you to do. Would you stand on your feet and give God a praise in this house tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Shoko sandala boyaha. Praise God. It's time we called in our markers. It's time we believe God for what God is going to do. For every time you've been slighted, it's going to be righted in 2018. For every time you've been abused, you're going to be promoted in 2018. For every time it's been stolen from you, it's going to come back sevenfold in 2018. I said he is preparing the table in the presence of your enemies. Is there anybody in this building right now that has a real need to respond to your critic and your enemy? but you've got enough faith that you can say, I can keep it to myself because I want to take it to the Lord, and the Lord is going to return it to me, and he's going to prepare a table, and they're going to see...